Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
So let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom is under attack in your state. Dictator Ron DeSantis incredibly lets you walk around without masks. That tyrant allows your kids to go to school during the pandemic, year two or four, or who the hell knows. I urge you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we'll take the money you earn and give it to people who don't work. Visit San Francisco, where you can walk through human feces. If you're lucky, you might step on a syringe. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal or two or ten to afford it. California, where freedom means lockdowns for you, while I go to the places you can't afford. Don't let them take your freedom. Come to California, where we'll take it, along with your money.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up. Talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello to all you nincompoops and something that cares out there. I am the Wiretap. I am here to represent Weizsäcker Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all you 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in a Wuhan laboratory, but you're not dying fast enough. So we now have Lysenker suicide pods. You can now rush out and die in our suicide pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, grey or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum, and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your ashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne CompuTube. We will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That they do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Lysenker suicide pod. Thank you.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. Hello, and thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. I am your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, so we'll have Dahl joining us here in a little bit. And for those out of you out there in Radio Land, if you want to join us tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So, let me see if I can, I didn't grab this clip here that I wanted, so I was... Let me see if I can download this real quick here. So, you have the COVID czar, Ashish Jha, saying that the COVID pandemic is not over, And we still need to get gene therapies, even though over 99% of Moderna's gene therapies are sitting in warehouses because nobody wants them. So they have to up the scare. They have to try and sell this in an election season where they feel that enough of us will be scared into voting for a Democrat again because the Republicans are not going to force you to get gene therapies, but we will. It's just crazy that you have all these lawsuits and everybody knows by now that these are death shots. And they're still out there selling it like it's brand new. But that's the thing with Democrats is they have a one-track mind. And they expect you to just have a head made of Etch-a-Sketch. I want to play this. It's like 44 seconds, but we'll open with it.
Follow-up, since the White House has now said the pandemic is over, can you just talk a little bit about what the message is for Americans as we head into the winter months? Can they behave as though it's business as usual as long as they're vaccinated?
Yeah, so the president was very clear. COVID is not over. There's a lot of work to do. We still have 300 to 400 Americans dying every day, tens of thousands of people getting infected every day. There is a lot of work to do. What we know is that if we want to keep people safe and protect them from serious illness, which is obviously priority number one, the number one thing that people need to do is get vaccinated. And the number two is if you have a breakthrough infection, you need to get treated. If people did those two things, it would make an enormous difference in preventing hospitalizations, preventing ICU stays, preventing deaths. And those are the top priorities.
So, yeah, 28 days before an election where there's a ton of people out there who are voting against more lockdowns, and their goal is they realize, and I guess they're just counting on it, like we'll get into later with Katie Hobbs in Arizona. They are just counting on the fact that they have all these Democrat voters lined up, and they have some voter fraud. And so they're doing basically nothing to benefit Americans. And their stance is, why should we? Because Democrats have proven that we don't have to do jack diddly squat for them. They will still vote for us, and they don't care. They want communism. Because if they didn't want communism, they wouldn't vote for us. And that's the game that they're playing right now. And what's funny is you have all these Democrats that refuse debates, and then they're saying that the other side is scared and doesn't want to talk issues. Like a half hour before the show, I found this clip with Project Veritas with Katie Hobbs, and I'll get this uploaded right now. But this is how it is, though. They're telling you, and she's saying right on the video that she doesn't talk to people that she doesn't know. And it was embarrassing a couple days ago when she was at that Hispanic, I don't know if you call it a conference or not, but she was there, and they asked her, what have you learned from the Hispanic community? And she had nothing. But these people just think that, well, you're black, you're Hispanic, you're a woman, you're going to vote for me. so I don't have to do anything. And I don't care if you are a Democrat voter. If you're normally a Democrat voter, you just can't check the D box just because they're a D, because this is what you get. You get people that just assume your vote, and they don't have to do jack squat for you. And their response is, why should I? I'm going to get 44% of the vote in my district without lifting a finger. So why would I chance saying something when I know I could probably win by just keeping my trap shut? If I just hide in my basement and play with my trains, I have a good chance of winning. If I end up talking to somebody, I might say something that I believe is true, but nobody else will like, and I don't want to do that. It's pretty sad that that's a winning strategy, according to most Democrats out there. They know that communism is not popular, so their goal is to hide. Let me go ahead and share the Katie Hobbs video.
How's it going? Being scary there. R.C. Maxwell with Project Veritas Action. Just wanted to ask a brief question about statements that you've made. Oh, you spilled your soda.
I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk politics to anyone who I don't know.
Is that an AR-15?
That is an AR-15. Easier to fire than a handgun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of scary.
That's why it's scary.
Would Katie support something like an assault weapons ban?
If she could, yeah. I mean, that, the problem is that's a federal issue, right? There's nothing she could do about it.
Right.
At least immediately, right? Instead of kind of advocating for it publicly, which is really more impactful once you're governor.
We have a lot of concerns about Katie's candidate. She's not debating very late, which is...
Why not?
We don't know.
I would love nothing more than the opportunity to have a substantive conversation about that issue. And Terry Lee Kitchen is capable of doing that. So we are providing opportunity for both of you to be around the scene, and we're going to keep doing it.
Multiple Project Veritas journalists investigated the Katie Hobbs campaign for governor in Arizona and found out why Hobbs is unwilling to debate her opponent, Carrie Lake. One individual who spoke with our journalist is Jasper Adams, a field organizer with Mission for Arizona.
Part of my job is coordinating with the campaign, so we're the coordinating campaign. So,
is that
so that's Mission for Arizona.
Okay, that's right.
So like Mark Kelly and Katie Hobbs and Tom O'Halloran and Tom O'Halloran, the campaign is going to play.
Okay.
And just all the Democrats all buy in, so they don't like do the big effort. We have a lot of concerns about Katie's candidate.
Why?
But not debating Carrie Lake, which is...
Why not?
We don't know. But that's sort of fun.
Really? How do you not know? You're her campaign.
Between us, when we had a big staff training, her communications director came in, and she's only been in the job for a few weeks. She was not prepared. And she's like, what are the questions you're getting that you want an answer for from the campaign? Like, what are we hearing from voters and volunteers? The number one thing is, why aren't you debating Carrie Lake? Not have an answer. And so you got to know, you got to know that's the question that's coming.
Wait, so Katie's employee didn't have an answer, or Katie did?
Well, she's the communications director, so
okay.
She makes the message. So the campaign doesn't have an answer. They basically said only Democrats care about debates, so and it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, but she is a Democrat.
They're saying only Democratic voters care, so they're not going to lose any votes because Democrats are going to vote for anyway, which maybe is true, but it's as a politician, you never want to say, I'm taking these votes for granted.
I do wonder how many, whether people actually care about this.
Care about what?
Like the debate thing.
Oh, I think...
But...
When people do.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
I mean, you said that's like the number one question you're getting.
Yeah, it's like a big question, especially from volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about those as much.
The average voter doesn't really even know about this.
I think it's as simple as that. They just don't think that the debate is worth their time, either because they think it's not going to change anyone's mind, or they think it might actively be bad for her in some way. So she's good at this kind of public-facing stuff, even though she's a terrible candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Katie Hobbs is really policy-focused. She's very good at her job as Secretary of State. She'll be a great governor.
So you think, like, Kerry would probably win?
Well, I, you know, winning, everyone thinks their own candidate wins every debate. I just think that they just think that, like, it probably wouldn't persuade a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Either it wouldn't persuade people one way or the other, or it wouldn't help her.
While Adams seems concerned about Hobbs not debating Kerry Lake, Hobbs' campaign manager, Nicole DeMott, seems to encourage Katie not to debate.
Did you watch the GOP primary debate?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a clip on Twitter, like a 2-minute recap clip, and it was a shit show. It was, like, really embarrassing for Arizona. And when Clean Elections was like, here's the debate format, it was exactly the same as the primary. And I was like, we're not going to put her in that. Like, she's not going to be part of something like that. Like, if you want to make a format that actually allows for, like, a substantive policy debate.
Yeah.
And where you can, like, compare positions, sure, we'll do that. So they want to see Kerry create this, like, spectacle. And we're like, we're not participating in that. And we're doing a bunch of forums. Can, like, actually hear both sides.
According to DeMott, Hobbs would only debate if it were substantive policy and to compare positions. Well, here is her head political consultant, Joe Wolf, discussing Hobbs' position on gun control.
Would Katie support something like an assault weapons ban?
If she could, yeah. I mean, the problem is that's a federal issue, right?
Right. Or, like, if something came down the states.
Yeah,
because I noticed, like, Kelly's kind of open about it, and I know Katie said, like, oh, she supports gun reform, but I haven't heard anything explicit. Is that more just because, is there, like, a big difference between sort of the...
Policy-wise, no, between the people, so much as just because it's a federal issue, and, like, you know, there's nothing she could do about it.
Right.
At least immediately, right, instead of kind of advocating for it publicly, which is really more impactful once you're governor, so it's kind of like... This state, unfortunately, is crazy with the guns. We're not going to take the beat for it before she can do anything about it.
Oh. So if she mentioned it publicly, that would not be good?
I don't know. More likely than not.
Because I haven't been in Arizona too long, so I don't really know.
Like, he would never say something like Tom O'Halloran in Congress. Democrat. Never.
Really?
Never say anything like that.
Really? Because that's such a big issue here, huh?
Correct. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Wolf tells our journalist that Hobbs would support an assault weapon ban if she could. This conversation happened following Wolf driving our journalist around with an AR-15 in the car.
Is that an
AR-15? That is an AR-15. Yeah, he had it broken down in the backpack when we started. He just pulled it out.
It can fit in a backpack?
Yeah, this folds down. It's a crowd control weapon. Easier to fire than a handgun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of scary.
That's why it's scary.
Our Project Veritas action reporter, R.C. Maxwell, met up with Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, and this is what she had to say.
How's it going? Thinking it's scary there. R.C. Maxwell, Project Veritas action. Just asked a brief question about statements that he's made. Oh, you spilled your soda.
Going inside of a restroom you ran. Considering your campaign drives around with an AR-15, don't you think rules for the... but not for me, is problematic for someone running for state office? The car's locked, Ms. Hobbs. Secretary Hobbs, ladies and gentlemen, running from a Project Veritas action reporter, doesn't want to discuss policy.
I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk politics to anyone who I don't know.
Yeah, so that's Katie Hobbs. So... I'm going to move ahead here. Let's listen to Miranda Devine, who was on the Laura Ingraham show, and let's see what she had to say.
And now another norm the Democrats are happy to shatter. Democrat candidates and incumbents across the country are running scared and away from debates because, as Victor said, they can't run on their record. They're not going to talk about rising crime rates, inflation, recession, certainly not the falling stock market. Have you looked at your 401k lately? None of that. In fact, they're so desperate to avoid any discussion of these inconvenient issues that several Democrats are either refusing to debate their Republican opponents or agreeing to only one debate very close to Election Day. In the Arizona governor's race, liberal Katie Hobbs appeared in a safe zone on Face the Nation to explain why she won't debate Carrie Lake.
I have no desire to be a part of the spectacle that she's looking to create because that doesn't do any service to the voters.
Oh, really? Well, that's too bad. Think about that for a minute. Of course, the real spectacle is what is happening to Arizona under Biden's open border. It's a huge surge in crime there and homelessness. But defending her views on any of that, well, that doesn't do a service to the voters.
Oh,
what an insult. Another reason to vote straight ticket Republican in Arizona. And look at poor John Fetterman. I mean, that man should be home trying to get well. Instead, he's trying to stumble away from accountability for his positions on everything from ending cash bail to banning oil and gas. Uncle Festerman only agreed to one debate, and it's late on October 25th.
It's normal to have one debate in October, and that's exactly what was always the plan. But because he's been struggling in the race, you know, he tried to turn this into an issue.
Struggling. Well, Oz wanted more debates earlier, noting that early voting started in the state in late September. But look, if I were a political consultant advising Hobbs and Fetterman, I'd be telling him to avoid debates too, as I would. Change the subject immediately from the economy and crime to abortion, I don't know, Trump, climate change, you know, whatever. Look, I get it. Their record is indefensible. What they're doing makes sense as a selfish political matter to avoid debates, but it's incredibly disrespectful to the voters. Speaking of disrespect, by the way, what New Hampshire incumbent Senator Maggie Hassan is doing to her state, it's just obscene. She's only holding about one campaign event a week, I kid you not. And of course, she won't agree to debate her challenger, Don Baldock. Now, in New England, that's where I'm from, people used to pride themselves on vigorous debate. And in New Hampshire, who in the name of Robert Frost would think that a New Hampshire politician would even consider hiding from her own constituents? Hey, Mags, the state motto is live free or die, not let's flee and duck. You notice that beyond avoiding debates, by the way, liberals like Senator Hassan, they aren't even hosting public town halls either. They used to do that all the time. So voters don't get to ask her questions pretty much about anything, certainly not on the issues they're getting hammered by, the policies she voted for. Families in New Hampshire now are being forced to go into debt big time just to afford the essentials. High inflation coupled with historic interest rate hikes have some New Hampshire residents relying on credit cards to get by. According to the Wallet Hub, the average New Hampshire household has more than $8,400 in credit card debt now. Now, this is heartbreaking. It's infuriating. I lived in Hanover, New Hampshire for 4 years in the 80s during college. And if you were a candidate who wanted to compete there, and a lot of them came through Hanover, you had to face the people. You had to answer a lot of questions. But now, with the you-know-what hitting the fan, they're going to give Maggie Hassan a pass? People of New Hampshire? How's that granted in your veins? When Americans are suffering, no politician should be able to skate to re-election without defending his or her record. Never should it be allowed to happen. And of course, today's media, well, they've been part of the protection racket, though, haven't they? They've gone from holding all politicians accountable to holding Democrats' coats. Joining me now is Stephen Miller, former senior advisor to President Trump, founder of America First Legal, and Miranda Devine, New York Post columnist, Fox News contributor, and author of my favorite, The Laptop from Hell. Stephen, now, I want to just focus for a moment on New Hampshire, okay? This is the live free or die state, okay? How can Maggie Hassan avoid debating her opponent and be taken seriously by anyone there?
Well, she shouldn't be. Only with the indulgence of the left-wing media is that even possible. Maggie Hassan has voted for every single radical left policy that is ruining the state of New Hampshire, for the open borders and the drugs that are destroying an entire generation, for radical gender ideology, for runaway inflation, for rampant crime. She's voted for all of it. Her voting record is indistinguishable from that of Bernie Sanders or Chuck Schumer. She's a hardcore leftist. She has nothing in common with the people of New Hampshire, and that's why she won't debate, and the media is letting her get away with it, and that is a travesty. The era of objective media, sadly, in this country is over.
Well, and Miranda, people's pocketbooks don't lie, do they? I mean, everyone knows they're getting poorer, the streets are getting less safe, and America's getting weaker under Democrat rule. Everyone knows that now. There's no debating that. And in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, she's not been elected by the voters to her position. She's only agreed to hold a single debate. And, of course, at the end of October, a lot of early voting has already taken place, months of absentee voting, I think, about by then. So she refuses to be held accountable as well. I mean, I think that is de facto reason to vote against her.
It really is, and I think these very weak Democratic candidates are trying to use the Joe Biden strategy, and I guess it worked for him, so they figure why not for them? They're cowards, and they're letting down the voters. The voters are supposed to be doing the due diligence during the campaign to decide which candidate is going to do the best for them, which candidate has the policies that will solve the problems, particularly looking in New York. Crime is a massive issue, and Kathy Hochul refuses to even tell the voters how she will deal with the problem of bail, so-called reform, that is letting all these crazies out on the street. And she won't talk about that, and as she knows that as soon as she goes into a debate stage against Lee Zeldin, he'll wipe the floor with her, and that's why she's running away. But she wasn't elected, as you say. And she's like a lot of these Democrat candidates. John Fetterman's another one. Truly a hopeless candidate, unfit, special needs candidate. And he's only managing to stay upright because he's protected by the media.
Mm-hmm. And Stephen, even CNN was forced to report on how Democrats now view Biden's presence as we approach the midterms. Check this out.
What do we know about this president's plan in the final 4 weeks?
He's clearly not going to the races that matter the most to Democrats. We haven't seen him go to Arizona. Seems like John Fetterman doesn't really want him to appear with him in the final stretch of the race. He's not going to Georgia. So we don't know a whole lot.
Stephen, he's like an anvil with cement shoes on. I mean, this is not working out well for him on the trail.
Giant lead weight anchor. But this is what's so astonishing, though, Laura, right, is that every single Democrat, go through the list, Mark Kelly, Maggie Hassan, Tim Ryan, they're all trying to establish distance between themselves and Biden. While they spent the last 2 years as his most loyal soldiers, his most faithful servants, doing everything Biden wanted, everything Pelosi wanted, everything Schumer wanted. And what they're using is Wall Street money and Silicon Valley money to put ads on TV that are lying to voters about who they are. Every one of them and every other Democrat running is a down-the-line Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, Kamala Harris Democrat who has enabled every single policy from open borders to crime to inflation that is wreaking havoc on our country. And if our candidates can make that point, and the ones who get to debate have crushed their opponents by making those points, as Blake did, as J.D. did.
Let me tell you about that, Stephen. I'm glad you mentioned that, because tonight, J.D. Vance eviscerated phony populist Tim Ryan. Here's one of the many superb moments from J.D. Check it out.
2 years ago, you supported banning fracking, both on public lands and generally speaking. That crushes the Ohio energy sector, and that's one of the reasons why manufacturers are going to China. Another reason Ohio manufacturers go to China is because the Chinese undercut American wages. The only way to really combat that is tariffs. 2018, 2019, and 2020, you opposed the tariffs that started to bring some of that manufacturing and industrial base back to Ohio.
We had those Batman sound effects. They'd be like, kapow, pow, zowie. I mean, he just floored him. This is why they don't want to debate.
It's exactly why they don't
brilliant.
Want to debate.
And, yeah.
Let's get Miranda. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. He was brilliant. You saw Blake Masters the other night. Brilliant. Carrie Lake would be brilliant, and Lee Zeldin would be brilliant. So these Democrats, not only do they have no policies, not only do they have a terrible record and a president that's a lead weight, they also really don't have the ability to go head-to-head against these very formidable Republican candidates.
When they don't have the protection racket going with the media, they're just left on stage with their policy positions, and that's an ugly place to be right now. Miranda, Stephen, great to see both of you. Thank you.
All right. On that note, Laura Ingraham's done. We'll go ahead and bring in Dahl here. Dahl, welcome into the show here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Proof.
Yeah, I didn't know what house you were at today, so sorry if I scared you when I asked you if you were coming.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize what time it was. Yeah, good timing. We're working on the house out here on the island, and we had to disconnect our power to connect the main box on the new construction, and I haven't had power for 24 hours, so it's been quiet on my end. Yeah, we just got it hooked up.
Well, you get it now and not in January when you really need the electric.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the generators only keep so many things running out here right now. So, yeah, I wasn't even certain if I was going to make it on. But here we are. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in the world, that's for sure. And
I grabbed as many clips as I needed to, so if I needed to do another clip night, then I was ready.
Oh, okay.
So Gateway Pundit yesterday said that Kelly Chewbacca is beating Murkowski right now.
Yeah. Murkowski's, she's proven herself to be the classic rhino. And, you know, if you look at her voting record, 20 years, you know, she's been in Alaska Senate, and she's voted Democrat right down the line this entire time. And Alaskans keep voting her back in. Sadly, you know, she was the only Republican representation for that seat that was offered. And Alaskans, you know, they're very strong Republican, you know, voting state. So not surprising. But now we've got Kelly Chewbacca on board. She's new. She is new to politics. She's not new to the industrial complex. She worked in Washington, D.C., ferreting out public waste and whatnot. So she's a really smart gal. She's got a lot going for her. She's very pro-life, Christian. She won't back down from her beliefs. She's run a very grassroots campaign. She did receive the Trump endorsement for the party. But, you know, I don't know if that hurts candidates sometimes or if it helps candidates. So, but fundraising-wise, you know, she's held her own. She's not doing a bunch of super PAC ads and stuff. We got Mitch McConnell spending millions of dollars here in Alaska right now trying to get Murkowski revoted. And that says a lot about Mitch McConnell's voting record.
Right.
You know, and we've always called him Moscow Mitch, you know, and there's a reason. The guy is another, you know, a perfect example of rhino, and he's in a high power part, you know, in the party, and he needs to be, you know, not, people need to quit electing him just like Murkowski.
I don't understand how Mitch McConnell gets to keep his Senate majority job.
I don't know either. It says a lot about the party, sadly. You know, the party's in huge disarray, and I hate to, not hate to, but sometimes, you know, I'm hesitant to say I'm a Republican because there's a lot of them that I don't even, you know, nothing with them resonates any
right.
filling a patriotism or common core values of and I've said this before, I think it's now is more of an important time as any to look beyond that little emblem in front of their name. By all means, you know, you don't want to vote for a socialist Democrat or a Marxist or whatever, but some of these independents and stuff are looking pretty good these days.
Yeah, there has been no talk whatsoever about our governor election here in Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada's got a lot of, you know, it's not just the government. There's, like, a lot of seats open right now in this electoral cycle for Nevada, and they're all really important seats. All of them are really important seats, so it's interesting. And Sisolak, he's not running again?
No, Governor Shitsack is running.
Oh, he's running. Okay.
But his best friend, his longtime best friend, no, I'm not just joking, they've been friends before. They both had their positions. The Sheriff Joe Lombardo and Governor Shitsack, there's no debates. There's nothing about either one of them, really. It's a forgotten race. Huh.
Yeah, and, you know, he's one of those governors that held on to those emergency orders and the COVID crap way too long, way longer than necessary, squashed a booming economy.
Right, so you have a communist versus what I call a squish, because there's nothing about Sheriff Lombardo. His claim to fame was that he was the sheriff during the Mandalay Bay debacle a few years back.
Yeah, and how'd that play out? Not very good.
Well, just because he was the sheriff doesn't mean that he did a good job. He didn't do anything.
Exactly. He has no...
bad behavior.
Yeah, and then you got Tulsi Gabbard leaving the party, the Democratic Party.
Sorry, my cat was begging to leave the room, so I had to let him.
But, yeah, so you got Tulsi Gabbard, who just left the Democratic Party.
Oh, that was my favorite. And I'll play the clip real quick. It's like 2 minutes.
And somebody I want to interview Tulsi Gabbard, because, remember, she ran for president as a Democrat not too long ago. She just put out a couple of tweets that are going to have people wondering what's she up to, because she just tweeted, I believe in a government that is of, by, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government of, by, and for the powerful elite. I'm calling on my fellow common-sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. If you can no longer stomach the direction that the so-called woke Democratic Party ideologues are taking our country, I invite you to join me. So Tulsi Gabbard, 1 month before the election, is saying, you know what? Goodbye, Democratic Party. I'm going someplace else. We don't know if she's going to declare herself an independent or a Republican, although she did speak at CPAC, I believe, 6 months ago.
Well, look, I think Tulsi is somebody who has always spoken her own mind. She's always been sort of an independent maverick. And I think when she ran for president, she realized how really isolated she was from the great majority of the Democratic Party, which is now, frankly, a pretty weird party. We said the same thing happened in a slightly different way in Philadelphia last week, where the former deputy mayor, a Democrat, endorsed Dr. Oz
right.
to the U.S. Senate and said that Fetterman is just so crazy on crime and so pro-criminal, he couldn't be for him. So I think you're seeing this drift, and we've certainly seen among Latinos a huge drift towards the Republican Party as they're driven away by the weirder policies of the Democratic Party.
Young people who make money are leaving New York, and Tulsi Gabbard leaving the Democrat Party. Those are the, that's what I've learned from the Newt Gingrich segment today. Newt, thank you very much for joining us live.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page to catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis.
Sorry, I got kicked out in the middle of that.
Yeah, I saw that. So, yeah, so it's really interesting because, you know, here Tulsi Gabbard's making a huge announcement. I mean, huge for somebody that ran on the presidential platform that's had as, you know, attention as she has. And she did stand out as kind of a pariah amongst the other Democrats when she didn't embrace a lot of these, societal
yeah,
norms.
Yeah, they called her a Russian agent.
Yeah, these new norms of society, you know, these social equity and stuff. I mean, not saying that stuff's not important to a level, but that's on a common sense behavior self level. You know, and she never ran a platform on that when that was the hot topic. And I think a lot of people discounted her as not standing out because of that. But I think that she was shunned from her party, even back then.
I'm surprised she stayed as a Democrat as long as she has. And obviously, she was so angry at them that she chose not to run for re-election.
Exactly. And it kind of goes along with, you know, what I was saying is I by all means, I'm going to flat out say I'm not voting for any Democrats, you know, not one, or socialist or Marxist. But if the right independent or even libertarian came along on a ballot, I would consider them. I wouldn't vote just Republican on a ballot just because the person's a Republican. I know if Kelly Chewbacca was not on the if she was not on the ballot, there's no way I could consciously give Murkowski my vote as an Alaskan.
Shoot, at that point, you might even give the Democrats a vote. What, there's no difference whatsoever.
Exactly. Exactly. A vote for Murkowski is a double vote for Democrats. It's ensuring a Democrat will get back in there, you know, or get in there, not back in there, but in there, period. And it just, that type of ideology just isn't a good fit for Alaska. We are a state that it needs to work. We need to work. We cannot be, I mean, like, the country needs us. Our assets and stuff, we just say, oh, Alaska's not going to work. Well, that means nobody's going to eat fish. Nobody's going to have kelp for all their cosmetics and their shampoos and their specialty foods. And nobody's going to have a lot of things, you know, minerals and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, it's really important that Alaska is under leadership that leads it in technology and new ways of doing things, and also keeping the old way of doing things going too. But yeah, they've shut down our logging and our fossil fuels and everything else. Our fishing's next. I don't know, everybody just better start liking bugs, you know, because they're not going to let you have fish.
Well, the good news, if there is good news, Dahl, I don't know anybody that voted for Trump that's now all of a sudden on Team Democrat.
Yeah. Me neither.
I'll be honest, I don't know one person.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know anybody that's gone to the other side. You know, and I was having dinner with some friends the other day, and they asked me, What do you think the percentage of people are that really know what's going on? I mean, that people say they're awake, you know, but, I mean, do they really know what's going on? Can they really embrace the shittery that we're really in, you know? And I would say 75% of the people in the world out there don't really know what's going on. They've heard about 2030. They've heard about Klaus Schwab. They've heard about Soros, open societies, all of it. But I really don't know that they know what's going on.
I think you're being generous.
You think more than 75 are only 20? All right. So I'm saying 75% of the world doesn't know what's going on, and I'm being generous. That's scary. Because I would say only about a quarter of people have any idea.
Now, what's your percentage? I would put it at 12% of the people around the world might have an inkling about what's going on.
Yeah. Well, that's scary because we're the 99% and only 12% or, you know, any of these numbers still are too low to... I mean, what's it going to take for people to wake up? You know, we've had this scamdemic. If that wasn't a wake-up call for people, then I don't know what is. And you know what's scary? It's so many people right now are just still kind of getting used to having their personal choices and freedoms, you know, exercising those again without, you know, getting shamed at the grocery store for not wanting to wear a scam on your face or whatever. So many people are still in the afterglow of getting their freedoms back that they still have no idea what happened to them.
And they're still wearing their scams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I was in conversation the other day, and I said, I think one of the reasons they locked up all the old people during COVID and locked them away and said, don't visit grandma, is not because they were old and frail, but because of the knowledge that they held. That a lot of them would have said, hey, I've lived through wars, and this is fascism. This is what they did to us before they put us on the trains. The history would have been revealed for what it was, but they locked away all that knowledge worldwide on the biggest scale ever. They locked up all the old people, all the knowledge. And then you've got the other group, the people that are kind of going, I don't know. I'm not, you know, you're not taking my freedom. I'm going to buck up against this, like myself and you and a lot of our listeners. But then the scariest subgroup seems to be these younger people, these kids that grew up, everybody gets a trophy, and they went to these schools and got indoctrinated on the taxpayers' dollars, right under all these parents, including my children, right under my nose. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know the subtle ways of teaching were melding their young minds. I had no idea that they were part of a worldwide psyop. And that is your 20-somethings and stuff that don't want to go back to work. They want to run around in their masks. They want everybody to have chips in their heads and in their arms and have to have digital
passports.
They want
to eat the bugs and owns the nothing.
And everybody eats bugs. In fact, they're so crazy, they'll pay double to eat bugs at some snobby restaurant. So, I mean, there's a lot to it going on right under our noses, folks, just right there in front of us. I mean, we had an inkling something wasn't right, something made you unsettled, something uneasy, but it was on a worldwide scale. And some of these countries got pretty far with it. And it's scary. You know, we saw the Canadians push back just at the last moment. The last moment. They were right there on the brink. Trudeau had them bent right over the table. And they were like, no, we're not going to take this. And they finally collectively stood up and said, hey, no. And no is such a powerful thing. No.
And you know what's sad is that it's the Canadian trucker strike that ended it worldwide. Because every other nation was scared of what Canada finally did.
Yeah, and look at how far New Zealand and Australia got with their people. And some of these little Pacific islands out there that the Chinese are, you know, pretty much running and stuff.
Right.
I mean, they had the social credit system thing. They had it so you could not leave your house for more than one family member walking a dog so long, you know, and people could only buy so much alcohol, so much petrol, so much of this, so much of that. And they complied. And I don't know how they broke free from it. I don't know if the World Economic Forum, the rest of the elites said, okay, good enough. All right, well, that worked good. Give them back their freedom, and then we'll try it a different way next time. I mean, these people are living a real-time living, working experiment. We all were.
But we gave these people all that power, though. That's why.
We did. And we invited them into our homes. We invited them there and in through our technology. You know, you look at the Zoom classrooms and stuff. Do you think they were just teaching your kid? No, they were monitoring your home, both audio and visually. There were parents that got in trouble for not wearing masks in their own house. They were ratted out by a teacher on Zoom.
Right.
I mean, if that's not Orwellian, I don't know what is.
Well, I might have told you, Dal, while I was job hunting earlier this year, I had three different companies that told me I had to wear a scam in a Zoom interview for a job to work at home in my house.
Yeah, and I won't be working for you because you guys are nuts.
So I'm sitting here in my room by myself, and I have to wear a scam so that somebody else on a Zoom call that lives in Boston doesn't get offended?
That is just weird. Inconceivable.
But I don't know which is first, that one, Dal? I had three of those, and I had one job interview where they asked me my pronouns, and I said, "Oh, I don't worry about pronouns. I'm just David." And they said that because I refused to give them my pronoun, that the interview was over, and they shut down the Zoom or whatever it was, and then I got my thanks anyway letter about 20 minutes later.
Creepy. That is creepy.
But I'm sure they got somebody that will tell them their pronouns.
Well, wouldn't David be your pronoun? Because you identify as a David?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I
identify as proof.
Well, yeah, you identify as proof or David or whatever, you know, and it's like, I mean, if you said it, you identify as a furry, that would have been acceptable.
Yeah, I'm not going to play the game.
Yep.
So I don't know if you've seen this one before, speaking about playing the games. So I'm reading the Gateway Pundit, and California passes a bill allowing states, they allow California state to go against parental rights, and they can take custody of out-of-state minors that are seeking trans surgery. So if a kid wants a trans surgery and mom and dad say no, the kid can contact the state of California and they will pay for the person, the kid, to get away and do their surgery in California, and then they can take custody of the trans kid.
Oh my God, that's insane. Yet they'll say that DeSantis offering migrants a flight from Texas to Martha's Vineyard kidnapping because he took them over state lines. But it's okay to take a child for an experimental, they don't know the long-term effects of any of this stuff with the trans stuff with the kids.
No, how would you convince a kid might live in Cleveland, Ohio, and they're going to tell the kid just get to the airport or get to the bus station somehow, get a friend to drop you off at the bus station, and we got you? That's acceptable now?
Yeah. Completely unacceptable, and it's transporting a minor over state lines, and there's a lot of logistics with it. And then, you know what happens is then California gets a hold of the kid, if they do, and say that that's their goal, and Child Protective Services gets that child. And then I'm sure that California is going to receive Medicaid dollars for that child. And that child is going to cost Medicaid and the taxpayer the dollars in transgender.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out a world where this is acceptable, because long-term, doing things sexually to kids never wins.
Yeah.
I didn't lose you. Oh, okay, I thought I lost you for a second there.
I heard that. No, I thought I lost you for a second, too, but, yeah, you know, it's going to have long-term ramifications, not only for the child, the minor involved, but the family that's torn apart, as well as taxpayers in California. They're going to eventually be put in a spill. And it's not surprising proof that California would be complacent in this. California is rolling out a lot of things that are the One World Agenda type things, the 2030 agenda, like the mandating that no gas-powered cars be sold after a certain date and all the environmental stuff.
I'm not even letting trucks come in unless they're electric trucks. So, exactly. And so now you won't get supplies in California.
Exactly, and you got, you know, all types of mandates still going on there, vaccine mandates like you're seeing in Washington State as well, still under Jay Inslee. But for them to be exporting minors in for this transgender reassignment stuff and being complacent and that, see, once they shut down the Planned Parenthood abortion industry here in the United States and the other abortion providers, not shut them down, but, you know, limit their control of, you know, by not federally mandating it. But anyway, so once they find out that they can't depopulate the population through Planned Parenthood, they have to seek other ways. Now, they've already targeted men with GMO foods and chemicals and stuff. We've seen the 40% decline in fertility in men over the last 30, 40 years. And that's a huge decline and huge ramifications for mankind. But then you have everybody changing their gender now. So if we can't get them to kill their babies, then we've slowed down the male sperm count as much as we can. Now let's go to level 3. Let's genetically modify all these young bodies so that they can never produce offspring. And That is another way of depopulation in the name of social justice or doing, giving people their rights or their choices.
So on that, I sent you what Spain, what their prime minister is saying now. The Spain's minister of equity says that children have the right to know that they can love and have sexual relations with anyone, and that includes anyone at any age, including trans children.
Yeah, that's sick. She goes on to say, the Spanish Minister of Equality, Irene Montero, recently spoke before a legislative commission and said that, quote, children have the right to know that they can love and have sexual relations with anyone that they want, unquote, and that no adult may touch a child's body but only if they don't want them to, regardless of who their families are. She also extended these rights to include trans children. I can't even read the rest of the article. You guys got to go to Gateway Pundit because I can't read these words on air. It talks about the descriptions of a video they're discussing and a little girl touching herself, apparently. But, yeah, I cannot, or touching a drag queen. But, yeah, I can't even read that. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, well, you get the people in charge that want to make this a regular thing, and at some point, God's going to say no to Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to have a wrath for all this. We're not going to get raptured out, in my opinion, because we have to see this evil. We have to make sure that we as a society never do this again.
Yeah, and then speaking of not my monkey, not my circus, but real news anyways, the other article you sent me on the Gateway Pundit once again, and they're talking about Daryl Brooks, and he's the guy that drove his SUV through the Christmas parade mowing down grandma and little children dressed like reindeer,
right,
and everything else, killing several people.
That's the one. That the Democrats said it was the car's fault. It wasn't his fault. It was the car's fault.
Yeah. The car was built by white misogynist men, probably. But anyway, so it says here in the article, the trial of the crazy mass murdering Christmas parade killer Daryl Brooks Jr. has been nothing short of a circus, which appears to be exactly what Brooks aiming for. See, he's representing himself, folks, which should never be allowed.
And he's wearing a scam.
Yeah, he's got a scam on. He's got his head is shaved. He doesn't have his dreadlocks or anything anymore. It says here, Daryl Brooks Jr., the BLM supporting mass murderer who rammed his SUV through the crowd at the Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade last November. He says here that he's rescinded his insanity plea and has been disruptive through the duration of the trial and has been removed from the courtroom several times and has even tried to delay the trial, saying he has COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll go in to court the next day after acting crazy, and he'll open the day with an apology for his previously ridiculous behavior, which is an apparent new woke, legal defense strategy, apparently. Also, Daryl Brooks Jr. claims he no longer identifies as Daryl Brooks Jr. He's made the claim while questioning Detective Casey about the events that unfolded in the evening of Brooks' killing spree. So anyway, so this is kind of this bizarre exchange between Brooks Jr. and the detective in the courtroom. So Brooks Jr. says to the detective, I want to direct you to the evening of November 21st, 2021. You stated you were on duty that afternoon, correct? And Detective Casey says, yes, sir. Brooks Jr. says, do you recall any disturbances that afternoon? Detective Casey says, do you mean when you drove through the parade route? The judge goes on to say, your question was a little broad. Why don't you try to narrow down the time frame so he can answer you more specifically? Brooks Jr. goes on, roughly around the time of 4:30 p.m., Detective Casey says, yes, I do. Brooks Jr. says, do you remember what you can recall? And the detective says, do I remember if I can recall? Brooks Jr. says, do you remember the disturbance you recall? Casey says, yes, I do. Would you state what that is, what that was rather? And anyway, so he goes on and on with this. And then Brooks Jr. says to the detective, who are you? No, who is you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, wait. I need to back up, folks. The detective said, I heard a horn beeping, and then a Ford Escape came through the parade route, and you drove past me and wouldn't stop, and you continued driving through the parade route. And that's when Brooks Jr. said, who is you? And Detective Casey says, Daryl Brooks, the defendant, seated at the table. And then Brooks Jr. says, let the record reflect, I do not identify by that name, nor do I know anybody by that name.
That's hilarious.
And the judge says, the objection is noted. I don't know where they're going with this. They're going to have a mistrial proof at this point in juncture, and I think that's what Brooks Jr. is pushing for. For a guy that was out on bail for running down his pregnant baby mama, he can't be that smart. He has to be receiving some kind of counsel from somebody to be defending himself.
So what's the goal here with the mistrial? Well, how would he benefit? Because they're not just going to let him run free and go home and say sorry for wasting your time.
Yeah, I have no idea. Just to drag this on, you know? I mean, this is not only a time and waste and drain on the legal system and the children or the taxpayers. You know, there were 18 children were injured and sent to the hospital. 62 individuals were injured in total, and 6 died, including a child. This was a mass murder. And they're allowing this guy to defend himself in front of these families in that courtroom after he killed them and to make a mockery of our judicial system. They should be ashamed of themselves for even entertaining allowing him to do this. As far as why would they want a mistrial, I don't know why. I don't know why they would waste the taxpayer, you know, everybody's time and the emotional toll. I mean, if he was a school shooter or a mass rapist, I mean, I don't know that they would allow him to defend himself. Why are they allowing him to defend himself? Because he's a black man?
Well, just like, too, when, remember this past May, you had that kid that shot up the school in Dallas, and he was out the next day because he was black.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard of that case since. I have no clue how that went down. Maybe they forgave him. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say, and I could be wrong, but I want to say they made it up to be like a bullying situation. Like he was pushed by, you know, to the brink by unbearable bullying or something like that. But I could be wrong, but that, I seem to recall something like that.
Oh, I got to send you this other one. So speaking of cars doing things to people, I got to show you this one. This is new from St. Louis. City officials are going to start suing car manufacturers because criminals are stealing too many cars. So it's now the car manufacturer's fault why people are getting carjacked and having their cars stolen. It's the car maker's fault. That sounds almost fair.
Yeah, that's like saying, yeah, like you can't have an old car because I can start it with a, you know, screwdriver in the ignition. Now they're saying these Kias are too easy to steal. The Kia and the Hyundai have defects in them that make them easier to steal than other cars. So they're seeing, just in St. Louis alone, about 5 of these things a day getting stolen. And they're saying auto thefts in St. Louis have doubled this year. In July alone, the city averaged 21 Kia and Hyundai theft incidences each day. The number increased to 23 a day in August. And in August,
well,
St. Louis...
Even if there is a defect with the lock, Dahl, how is that the car manufacturer's fault that that people are stealing the cars?
I agree, you know, it's like trying to sue the car manufacturer because people get DWIs, you know, or, yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but it's apparently these vehicles made before 2021 are easier to steal, and the city leaders wrote a letter demanding that Kia and Hyundai mitigate the defective conditions providing thieves, including teenagers as young as 13, the instrumentalities by which they are destroying property, endangering city drivers and themselves, in some cases committing violent felonies. Well, you know, what's ironic is in places like St. Louis, where you've defunded the police and let BLM and Antifa run over stuff and crime, you know, they're half the number of police officers that they were a year ago, and sometimes 911 calls will take hours to answer.
So if somebody chokes on food, I guess you have to sue a farmer.
Yeah, exactly, because you got a weed allergy.
Yeah, well, this can't last that long.
No, it can't. You know, it's sad, too, because, you know, you're seeing in these big cities, especially with car thefts and gun crimes, you're seeing a higher number of youth being involved. And what happens is these gangs, like I'll use King counties, like Seattle, Washington, for example. You get these gangs that are recruiting younger and younger and younger kids to commit these violent felonies and these carjackings and thefts and whatnot, because they've got these DAs and prosecutors that go easy on crime, and these kids, they don't have their criminal record or their juvenile records aren't carried over into adulthood in places like that. They are not incarcerated usually. They're in and out. So these kids go back home, they get a new gun, and they're back out on the job for these gangbangers the next day. And it's sad. And they're being recruited, and I'm not just saying it's all gangs, but, you know, it has a trickle-down effect. We're seeing it with higher prices in the store trying to cover for the lax shoplifting policies and the consumers paying for them. We're seeing homeowner and car insurance going through the roof because of crime rates in your cities. You know, it's a trickle-down effect. And now we're seeing, you know, scenarios like this. What St. Louis needs to do is, you know, crack down on these thieves and make it really unpleasant when they get caught, and to fund their police departments better, support them. They don't need to write letters to the manufacturers.
Sorry, there's just some weird sound. Sorry.
Yeah, I hear it too. There we go.
All right, well, there's something we haven't done yet that we should probably handle.
Okay. Here comes Broccoli Man, everybody.
I'm going to give you the link.
Okay.
Hopefully you won't be bored watching this.
No, never. All right, let's see. Get it queued up a little bit here. Because I got a commercial. Broccoli Man on TV, Gotcha, featuring Liberal Person. That's a new one. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, ready? Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm muting.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Welcome back to the Fake Debate here on FNN, the Fake News Network. We have ultra-mega right-wing extremist, and he loves to unfairly test minor attracted persons and is a complete threat to our democracy, Broccoli Man.
Thank you.
And we also have this esteemed superhero and defender of all who want communism, Liberal Person.
I hate all y'all so much.
So 1 out of 4 Democrats believe that all genders can get pregnant and have children. 75% of the population are genderist adults that do not realize that Brandon legalized men getting pregnant. Are you a genderist, Broccoli Man?
Hey. If Brandon wants to legalize men getting pregnant, that's great. But men are not born with eggs. They have sperms. Sperms swim to eggs. Men do not have ovaries or a cervix to house the eggs and create life inside their body. Men have no womb. They do not have a front hole to push the baby out of.
You are so full of hate. You are a genderist, a homophobe, and a racist. You even voted for Trump. I believe men can get pregnant because I am loving and liberal.
Why are you only pro-cis gender? Why do you hate people so much?
Who said I hate people? You are not born with those body parts. You either have a hole, or a hole puncher.
Men can get pregnant every single day, now that Brandon is doing a great job as president.
If that is the case, please tell us one male celebrity, sports athlete, or male politician that has had a baby. Just one. Then I will believe you and your cult. Come on, you cannot name even just one? You said men get pregnant all the time now. Just name me one.
I hate you so much. You are such racist and genderist.
Okay, let's continue to expose Broccoli Man as a hate-filled press bag. Why do you not wear scams and get gene therapy? You know they save lives.
That's easy. Wearing scams have been proven to get people more sick. You breathe in fibers every month from your scam to fill a credit card. More people are getting respiratory viruses now and intestine infections also. Plus it restricts your breathing. It did absolutely zero to stop the spread of COVID, and actually made it worse. Especially on young kids who now have speech issues over it. And the gene therapies have proven to be a complete dud and have killed a ton more people than what they claim they save. I have never had COVID once and I do not buy into Dr. Fraude.
You are a complete fool, broccoli person. I got all 53 of my COVID boosters. I only had 14 heart attacks and only got COVID 33 times since 2020. It would have been much worse if I did not get my boosters.
Hey, that's great. I got zero COVIDs and never had one heart attack.
That's because you are a racist and hate black people. I got myocarditis because I am loving and liberal.
On that note, Broccoli Man, why do you hate black people? If you do not vote Democrat, it means you hate black people.
Please explain how if you side with one particular political affiliation, that means you hate people? That is just fake news. You media fakes just are trying to remain in power and get race riots started for no reason. You even said Larry Elder, Candace Owens, and my best friend Sumam are leaders of the Klan. Do you think the Klan has a diversity program?
Anyone that thinks white people matter and does not want a war are complete racists and a threat to our democracy.
So on that, Broccoli Man, why are you against having a nuclear war with Russia?
Any nuclear war is bad not just for humanity across the world, but it is damaging permanently to the earth. We will never be able to grow crops again as long as nuclear remains are in the air and on the ground.
No one cares about that. You are against humanity if you do not stand for Ukraine and drop nuclear bombs on Russia. You are a Nazi if you do not support Ukraine.
You mean like the Ukraine Nazis that have Nazi tattoos that the United States is funding every single week with billions of American dollars every few days?
Yes.
So, why is it okay to fund Nazis that are Ukraine troops? But if we do not want a nuclear war, then you are a Nazi and we need to be placed in FEMA camps.
Yes. Those Nazis are different. Those Nazis are good because they are fighting Russia. I support the current thing.
Broccoli Man, you know that FEMA camps do not exist. If you think FEMA camps exist, then you must be placed in a FEMA camp. Also, why do you hate drag queen story time so much? Why are you a transphobe?
Who said I hate trans people?
I'll say it. You hate trans people. You arrest people for wanting to diddle children. It is a children's choice to get groomed by adults. The adults consented, so that is good enough.
What's so bad about minor attracted persons? Why do you have to arrest those poor people for the sexual preferences?
Never in the history of the world have we ever accepted pedos to diddle children. I will fight with everything I have to keep it illegal for perverts to do sexual things with children. I do not care if they are straight or wearing drag queen clothes. Doing things to kids is still illegal and kids have a right to not be forced into sexual relationships at young ages. Leave those kids alone.
Why are you such a monster? You are depriving children of having sex and changing their gender. It was not their fault they were born with a hole puncher and they wanted a hole. Kids know right away when they are born if they got the wrong part. We need pornography classes in schools and have porno videos for only kids under age 18.
Hey, if they want to change their gender, that's great. They can make that decision when they are adults. Porno videos should not be available to kids or played in grade school.
I can't believe you hate children that much. You are a sick monster.
The Democrats will be winning all these elections. John Fetterwoman will be the best communist to win a Senate seat.
John Fetterwoman is the best. He believes the Eagles are better than the Eagles. He is correct.
If you love communism that much, then why can't you rent a U-Haul and drive to Cuba?
We should not have to do bleep. We are the chosen peoples because we support Black Lives Matter and listen to Klaus Schwab. I agree to eat the bugs and own the nothing. It is useless tool bags like you who want to drive your cars and own property. You are so stupid that you still eat meat and take showers.
Wow.
When we get done with this interview, I am going to the store and stealing less than $1,000 worth of food because it is legal. I am loving and liberal. If you love people, you would want to see 95% of Americans go to FEMA camps that do not exist. We are the majority who want communism and everything should be free. Everyone needs to comply.
Well, you can get ready to loot now, liberal person. We are at the end of the show. Thank you everyone for coming out. Please do not listen to Proof Negative or freedomizeldo.com. We cannot have people educating themselves from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. If you listen to Freedomizer Radio, then we will not have control over you.
Everyone needs to listen to Proof Negative. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and news you need to know.
Like I said, do not listen to Proof Negative ever. You need to listen to our fake news. Good night, everyone.
You are all a bunch of fools. Wait until we control all of you.
All right, so that was the latest.
Yeah, I like the John Fetterwoman.
Well, he said that's his name.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some problems. No, that was a good one. You know, I mean, this whole agenda is what I'll call it. And, you know, if you have a normal, healthy child that's just dealing with normal, healthy, you know, teenage angst or, you know, adolescent problems, you know, they might need some counseling or some guidance along the way. But, I mean, they're just kind of whatever. But if you have a transgender child and a child that's going through any kind of gender modification or anything, they're worth millions of dollars to these doctors and pharma and therapists and everything. And it's a lifelong commitment. And that's all that is. That's all it is to those people. They don't really care. They're using all our off-market drugs for this stuff, clinically unproven, proven only to have detrimental side effects as these people take these drugs over time for whatever marketable label they're under already. So, you know, and one day we're going to see lawsuits from these kids because of the grooming and the stuff that's happened to them.
My name is John Fetterwoman. And the Eagles are so much better than Eagles. No, no.
Yeah, I just know, Dahl, that if I said that my last name was Fetterwoman, that my wife would tell me to pack my stuff.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and yeah, not to go too far from what we were just talking about, but since we're on the Fetterman or Fetterwoman issue, just recently, Dasha Burns with NBC News did a report, and this is out of Fox News, and she was chronicling that she had done a interview with Fetterman, and he's having a lot of issues communicating. And he has a hard time understanding what he's hearing, that he has to see it in writing, and apparently he's using a teleprompter.
Yeah.
And
he'll fit right in.
She did it. Yeah, exactly. So she did a preview of her exclusive interview with Lieutenant Governor, which will air in its entirety on Wednesday. It's the first time Fetterman has sat down with a one-on-one interview since his stroke in May. And the Dasha Burns went on to say, "We had a monitor set up so he could read my questions because he still has lingering auditory processing issues as a result of the stroke, which means he has a hard time understanding what he's hearing. Now, once he reads the question, he's able to understand. You'll hear he also still has some problems, some challenges with speech. I'll say that just in some of the small talk prior to the interview before the closed captioning was set up and running, it did seem he had a hard time understanding our conversations," Burns said. She also described the interview as unconventional and a departure from how she originally spoke to him prior to the stroke. "Now, Fetterman has always been an unconventional candidate, but this is a particularly unconventional interview. I sat down with him in his home in May before his stroke. That was very different, including literally what the setup looked like." She said that during the current interview, every now and then I'll miss, he says he'll miss a word every now and then, and sometimes I'll maybe mush two words together. "But as long as I have captioning, I'm able to understand exactly what's being asked. But even after the stroke, immediately after that, I was able to read everything and haven't lost any memories or anything like that." You know, like I say, he's still serving as Lieutenant Governor. And that in itself, with his medical capacity as it is concerning, let alone, you know, all the people considering voting for him.
I don't think he's doing his job. Could be just me, but I can't picture him ever going to the office.
No, and it sounds like, you know, like even this interviewer said the setup at his home for the interview was good. Everything was completely different, meaning that there was probably a lot of, you know, occupational therapy stuff there and a teleprompter and maybe additional staff and medical care. I mean, we're not hearing what the changes were, how it was incredibly different, but that's what, you know, kind of thoughts are conjured when I hear that, is that, you know, things are different. And then also, I've got this part of my mind that I can't help it. Everything we've been through the last 2 years, everything's not always what it seems. And sometimes you look at Biden and it's like, is that even a human or is that an android up there or is that a hologram? I mean, is John Fetterman's hologram messed up and they're just trying to glitch it, you know, unglitch it or what? Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to go there, but I can't help but I've been so jaded that I have to think about all those possibilities.
Just going back to a completely different topic, I'm trying to understand
okay. Now
how if you just simply say that if you don't want a nuclear war with Russia, it means that you're a Russian agent. That Zelensky even made a law in the Ukraine that there will be no surrender, and Ukraine does not negotiate for peace. And why should they? Because they're getting money hand over fist to keep this going.
Oh, well, yeah, and And it's concerning. Right there, right there is one of the main reasons we should not be engaging in this, even as, especially as not as a member of NATO. We should just be securing and taking care of the NATO members if we're going to do anything, and not just us, but us all collectively, you know, secure the assets that are mutual over there and let this play out, because there has not been one word on Ukraine's side of any kind of talking down, any kind of concession, any kind of middle ground, revisiting the 2014 or the friendship treaty that was dissolved in 2014 that kept that territory mutual and non-volatile. I mean, it was Ukraine that ended that treaty. And it was in Ukraine where the civil war was happening, and the separatists saying, hey, we don't want to be a part of you anymore. We want to be a part of Russia. Where do we go from don't go outside because you'll kill your grandma to if you don't like Russia and you don't like nuclear war, then you're a double agent? I mean, these people are like, don't kill one person, who cares, blow up the whole damn world.
Well, I've seen the memes going around, and it is true, and I've even shared it, that I'll take mean tweets over nuclear destruction of the world, but that's just me.
Yeah, me too. I misspelled mean tweets.
We haven't heard anything about Leslie's friend Robert Francis O'Rourke in a while.
No, we haven't. I wonder if he's having a gun gathering, gathering up everybody's guns.
I wonder what he's going to do when he loses again.
I don't know. Hard to say.
I'm trying to find a video that I thought I... There it is. So we haven't discussed PayPal.
Oh, yeah, that one's a good one.
So PayPal lost about $6 billion in stock yesterday over their wokeness. And everybody knows, I don't think anybody got fooled here when they said it went out in error and that was not meant to be something that went out to the public. They're just mad that they got caught. They're not mad that somebody accidentally put it in a policy, because somebody would have been fired for that publicly. How dare you be a commie? But no, they didn't get fired. They just said that it was created in error. Like somebody just writes that stuff by mistake.
Yeah. No. And to let it go like that? Like,
so,
as long as it did with
expressing
it?
I had plans by the end of the month to ditch my PayPal. And I'm still looking at other companies. It's just that when you run businesses and people have monthly donations set up to donate to you and such, that you can't just shut it off and immediately start a new one. You kind of have to let the donations come in and send out a message to all your donors and let them know to make the switch once we even find a new company. It's not like I could just quit when somebody says boo. It's not just a personal account. When it's business stuff and they're giving you 30-day notice, I'm going to utilize those 30 days.
Well, yeah, and but it's the reasoning under that too is really concerning, because this is a, if PayPal, if I misread it, if PayPal thinks that you violated some kind of community standards of them, of theirs on gender equality or racial equity or anything like that, they could fine you.
Yeah,
and take
but
money
the thing
directly
is,
out of your account.
If it was on PayPal's platform, they could do what they want. But if you're posting on Instagram, what does PayPal have to do with your Instagram?
Yeah, if you advertise something that pays through PayPal on your Instagram, or I don't know.
No, that
I don't
has
know
nothing
how
to do
works.
With it. They were telling you that they had the right to monitor your email address.
So they're going to read all your emails?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's concerning. You know, what if they find out you're funding something for pro-life, you know, or you're giving money to your church, and your church doesn't align to their...
You're a Trump supporter.
Yeah. Who you're donating money through, what platforms you're, using. It's terrifying.
So I want to share what Donald Trump Jr. had to say about this today.
Wow, guys, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, but PayPal got caught with their hands in the big tech proverbial cookie jar. A new policy that they put out would let the company pull $2,500 from users' accounts if they promote misinformation. Now, this seems to be per instance. They could just pull money from your account. They're going to scour, I guess, your other social media accounts and pull money out if you're promoting misinformation. Now, that's insane. That's insane. Now, since then, they have withdrawn that statement that went out, they say, in error. But, like, honestly, do you really believe that? Does anyone believe that a multi-billion dollar corporation like PayPal just puts out statements saying that they could take $2,500 per instance out of a user account if they weren't really thinking about it? They just got caught. That's the difference. They got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. If they could get away with it, they would do this in a second. But PayPal would do that. I imagine it would be only enforced one way, politically, of course, because that's big tech. But, you know, you could just move to a blue state right now. You could rob, loot, steal. There's, like, no consequence whatsoever. But PayPal's going to take something out of your account because they don't like what you said on the Internet. And, again, they're going to be the arbiter of truth because, again, big tech's been right about so much, right? All the things that they said were conspiracy theories. A couple months later, are they going to give you back your money with interest? It's scary times we live in, guys. But this is the crap that's going on in big tech. Stop giving these people your money. Take the time to seek out other things. Go to, like, Public Square. Sign up for an account there. Find other patriotic businesses and support them directly. PayPal, of course, said it wasn't true. They didn't mean it to go out, right? But their new thing, the PayPal's new acceptability, according to a reporter, I'm reading a quote on Twitter, PayPal's new acceptable use policy beginning November 3rd, 2022 will enable the company to withdraw $2,500 from your account if they find anything you've said to be objectionable, including misinformation or discrimination of groups or individuals based on gender identity. That means that if you do like 10 things that they don't agree with, they could take $25,000 out of your account. Now again, they're taking this back. A spokesperson from PayPal, an AUP notice recently went out in error that included incorrect information. PayPal is not fining people for misinformation, and this language was never intended to be inserted into our policy. We're sorry for the confusion that caused. Well, of course they're doing a 180. Of course they are doing it. They will not actually confiscate your money. But again, does anyone really believe that that wasn't something they'd want to do? Does anyone believe that that was an error, or was it only an error because they got caught? It was an error because so many people started closing their accounts. It's probably been trending. They would have probably implemented had they been able to get away with it. They will keep probably trying to do these things if they could get away with it. They had to. They probably lost millions of accounts, and they had an oh crap moment that they had to do it. A lot of people, like you, I'm sure, people watching, said, hey, why would I give these clowns their business? They're going to be the arbiters of truth magically all of a sudden? That was a test, folks. It was a test by, like, the globalists who are in control of this crap to see if a new social credit system, a social credit score, would be accepted at any level. And guess what? They'll probably keep trying these things little by little until they break people down enough, like mandates, like masking, like all the things. Just break them down. Break their will. Make sure that once they're ready to not fight back. So people rightfully lost their freaking minds, and now they're pulling back. The next move would have been the major credit card companies doing the same thing, like some of them have done, as it relates to now we're going to monitor if you're buying guns and exercising your Second Amendment rights. These people were legitimately going to fine you $2,500 if they don't agree with you. If you say something that they don't agree with, think about that for a second. Think about how insane that is. Think of another time in American history where people wouldn't have lost their minds at this. Luckily, we did. But they're only changing their policy because the people rejected it. They're probably going to keep pushing those boundaries yet. They're literally trying to lock you in for life. Don't let them get away with it. Hopefully, they were hoping that you weren't paying attention. They were hoping they could get away with it, in my opinion. I have to say that because they'll fact check me here for this. But think of how crazy that is. Liquidated damage of $2,500 per violation for what they deem to be inappropriate or reprehensible speech from you in America in 2022? Keep watching, folks. Don't let them get away with this crap. This stuff has to stop. Take the time to find businesses that share your values. Take the time to make sure you don't just take the easy route and give these people who hate your guts, your freedoms, and your values your hard-earned money. You can do that, and it's worth the effort.
So I agree with that. So on that note, I'm still looking around at other I saw the one that Dan Bongino runs, the payment processing service. I saw a bunch of others. And I just have to find the one that works best for what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's sad that it has crept into the capitalist market where, and all people want to do is do their business, pay their fee and get their money. And
I posted something a couple days ago that got flagged as offensive. I said, I want to see evidence of one male actor, athlete, or male politician who has gotten pregnant. Just name me one. And that was flagged as offensive.
Yeah, not surprising.
Yeah, if you believe so much that men can get pregnant, then why would that be offensive? You would be telling me who the first great male athlete was that got pregnant. You would be glorifying that. You would have a national holiday for that person.
Yeah.
Not you, doll, the proverbial you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's important now to look at your contracts and when you're getting into contract with any kind of financial institute or anything to make sure that there's not these social clauses in here. And, what do they call it? The ESG? That's the next. Next thing on the agenda is the scamdemic and then the ESG. And the ESG is the economic flow of things and how it's done and stuff. And you're seeing these financial institutions you know, disavow investing in fossil fuels and only investing money in these precious metals and these rare mineral mines. And these things are investments that are outside the United States and aren't even guaranteed. And yet they will censor you on and be thought police and monetarily fine you. So you gotta be careful what you're signing up for, I guess.
So 41 illegals were found in a small travel trailer near the border in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's... really sad.
So, because Saudi Arabia is cutting oil production by 2 million barrels a day, Brandon is getting ready to put sanctions on Saudi Arabia, because that's going to help.
Yeah, that's really going to help. You know, Saudi Arabia could really, really hurt us. I mean, we've already seen, well, some people are too young to remember, but, you know, back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president, you know, we didn't have great relationships with the Middle East, and we were in a huge recession like we are now. Although he wasn't pushing a Green New Deal, it wasn't far off. Give him a little more time, he would have. But this is where it's getting us, you know, and they have a lot of leverage right now. Saudi Arabia does. They're producing something that everybody still needs, whether you want to have green power or not. We still are dedicated to fossil fuel and dependent on it. And if we don't produce it, somebody else will. And it's not just production that's, you know, concerning. It's non-production that's concerning, too. And the less they produce, the more it costs. And now we've seen Joe Biden empty out our federal emergency fuel reserves to give everybody a couple cent discount on their gas, which that's never what it was meant for. It's for federal emergencies. And now we're going to be paying Saudi Arabia top dollar to fill that back up for us.
But when Saudi Arabia says, quit bothering us, you have your own oil, they're not wrong. And that doesn't mean I'm a Saudi sympathizer. I'm just sharing what's real.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I mean, if we have the capacity. We have everything we need. The fact that we're not pumping is all on us. Yeah, this is a self-made disaster.
Meanwhile, you have all these millennials and Gen Zs that are begging to go to war against Russia.
Yep.
They haven't lived. They don't know what war feels like. They don't know what a nuclear bomb feels like. So I don't want to see one, but some people need to learn what it is.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm 50 years old, so I mean my grandparents mostly raised me, so they were I was raised in the there was a lot of talk around the dinner table about Cold War, Cuban Missile Crisis, the Russians. If you weren't, you know, a Republican, you were a communist, and mm-hmm. about how, you know, maybe there was a suspected communist on my grandfather's crew at work and didn't, you know, I mean, there was talk about that. I remember sitting in line to get fuel for our car and having to wait for my grandfather's license plate, you know, combination to come up so we get fuel for our car. I remember waiting in line for government cheese and butter because we were really poor. Yeah, they did have good cheese. It was one off from Velveeta, but still really good. But back to it, too, there was always a lot of talk on TV, the news, a lot of visual documentation of what, you know, what Hiroshima looked like and what nuclear bombs are going off looked like, and that constant fear hiding underneath a rickety old school desk, you know, because we're doing a bomb drill. I mean, that's fresh in my head, you know, and that's a very real threat. We're closer to midnight than we ever have been, and the doomsday clock said it.
Oh, and they're bragging about how it's going to happen. I've just never seen a government, especially United States government, try to push the button so hard on a war.
No, they're really pushing it. And I mean, like I said a little earlier, how do we go from...
It's because they are so far in the negative that they have nothing to offer, so they think they can war it out, and then all of a sudden everybody will be patriotic for the U.S. because we're blowing up an enemy.
Yep.
Nobody wants this.
No, and like I was going to say, where do we go from wear a mask, save your grandmother, to it's okay to just blow up the whole damn world?
Well, when you're liberal, you can have an etch-a-sketch head like that.
And we needed a boogeyman, so Putin's the boogeyman. But COVID's the boogeyman. You know, well, the real boogeyman are the 1% that are pushing the buttons behind all the scenes. And you know what we're doing, too? I mean, we're polarizing a already volatile relationship with China, which they're no good. They're not saying the Chinese are no good, but, you know, Xi paid. She's a bad guy, and their policy is bad. We don't want that spread throughout the world. But we're pushing China and Russia into bed together. I mean, gosh, we bought them dinner, lit the candles, brought the wine to the room. I mean, we've set the stage for that. And I frankly proof, Xi and Putin together are formidable opponents. And that is very, it concerns me very much on so many levels. Economically, food stability, water safety, everything. And nuclear war. I don't want nuclear war.
I just don't understand how liberals all of a sudden are like, not just war, but let's blow up the whole world war. Even if it means we get hurt, the important thing is that we're killing other people.
Yeah, we'll just lock ourselves in our parents' basements and hook up to the metaverse.
It sounds like you're sometimes playing heavy metal behind you.
No. It's silent here in the cabin. Nothing on.
No, I believe you. Sounds like it in the background.
That's weird. We don't even really have bad weather right now either. But nothing going on here.
All right, let's see. What else do we have here? This one was pretty funny. Laura Ingraham talking about yesterday with Columbus Day, how commies never take a vacation from hate.
Hey, I'm Laura Ingraham. This is the Ingraham Angle from Washington tonight. Well, since the radical left never takes a vacation from hating on all things American, today was their annual Hate on Christopher Columbus Day. Now, this was the take from the endearing folks over at Salon. I don't understand the adulation that some Italian Americans continue to bestow on Christopher Columbus, who, as history demonstrates, was less a hero than a thug exploiting and enslaving indigenous peoples. A better, more sober assessment comes from Zubair Simonson in the National Catholic Register, who asked, are we, the beneficiaries of his exploration, going to laud a man for having a conviction, ambition, and courage? Or should we blame that man for anything that went wrong afterward, including events far beyond his control or events that he hadn't been there for, without even trying to consider how his times were different from our own? Well, on this 530th anniversary of the day that Columbus landed in the Western Hemisphere, it's a good time to remind everyone that Columbus Day was a progressive idea that came out in the New Deal era. Back in 1934, FDR established the national holiday, urging Americans to observe the day in schools and churches or other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies befitting the anniversary of the discovery of America. Well, of course, back then, the progressives saw Italian Americans as likely Democrats. But now, they see them as likely Republicans. Well, that's really the only difference. And I promise you, once Hispanic Americans tip over 50% for the GOP, the cancel culture is going to come for them, too. No more Cinco de Mayo fun for you. Uh-uh. Well, there's nothing that the left hasn't touched. Nothing that hasn't been trashed. Our public schools, our city streets, our colleges and universities. And speaking of, how insane have things gotten? Get this, medical students at the University of Minnesota must now take an oath to, quote, honor all indigenous ways of healing that have been historically marginalized.
Our institution is located on Dakota land. Today, many indigenous people throughout the state call the Twin Cities home. We commit to uprooting the legacy and perpetuation of structural violence deeply embedded within the healthcare system. We recognize inequities built by past and present traumas rooted in white supremacy, colonialism, the gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression. We pledge to honor all indigenous ways of healing that have been historically marginalized by Western medicine.
This is Medicine 2022. Very creepy, wasn't it? I watched the entire thing. Now, of course, it's all part of their efforts to denigrate and replace our own history, and some of the most venomous, destructive political forces in America today are leading the campaign.
The City Commission on Monuments recommends that Chicago's three Christopher Columbus statues be permanently removed from their public locations. The statues were at the center of violent racial justice protests 2 years ago. The committee has also recommended removal of 10 other monuments due to depictions glorifying racist stereotypes and white supremacy.
Now that idiocy is the recommendation of the committee that Chicago Mayor darling Lori Lightfoot herself formed. Now, she hasn't had time yet to decide the Columbus issue, but she has had time to record this.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
they want to go. They want to go to Florida or Texas. That's where they're going. Well, Italian-Americans watching all of this, they're rightly outraged.
We're celebrating, number one, the accomplishments and the contributions Italians and Italian-Americans have made during the development of this great country. But it's not just Italian-Americans, it's everybody together. That's why our parade is made up of so many cultures, if you really watch it.
Well, let's remember that the Democrats are the ones claiming to be the defenders of norms and democracy. And it's usually, of course, only related to January 6th and Trump. But this has been a national holiday for almost 90 years, established by a Democrat icon. So if there was a norm, well, this would be it. And as for the indigenous people, you know, does anyone really think it's fair to apply today's standards to some of their ancestors' traditions? From the cannibalism of the Iroquois to the human sacrifices of the Aztecs? I don't think so.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch...
All right. So on that note, Dahl, we'll go ahead and bring Pianki in to the conversation.
All right.
Welcome in, sir.
Yeah. The Iroquois fought with the Confederacy, and they also, you know, funny thing, they fought with George Washington at Savannah along with Haitians. It's funny how special interests take precedence over skin color and need, isn't it? So, I have no problem with Columbus myself. Italians, and Columbus never said he discovered America. That's something that has been taken completely out of proportion and pushed by people with a special agenda. But on another hand, proof.
Yeah.
Guess who's kicking black Americans out today? The American Indians. The Creek, the Cherokee, they're kicking them out of their tribe. Cherokee Nation expels descendants of tribes, black slaves. I'm one headline. America's second largest Indian tribe expels black. U.S. Indian tribe kicks out thousands of black descendants. So what is it going to be? Are these people going to be Indians, or are they going to be Americans? Are they going to be Indians, or are they going to be African? Are they going to fight for, are they going to fight for Black Lives Matter? What is it going to be? We're in a confused situation nowadays, you know that?
Well, I'll be honest. The fake news is pushing whatever side that the white people are not on.
Well, they always use the word white supremacy, don't they? And the lady using the word indigenous. Indigenous is different from Indian. Indigenous was here before the Indians came.
Right.
The Aztecs and the, yeah, we should know that. And then when the Indians came, they started fighting against the indigenous. Who was fighting with each other, the Aztecs against the Mayan, the Taino. The Aztecs was a tremendous supreme force. Heck, it's by their accountings that they killed over 80,000 Mayans in 1 week. And they had the ritual up on top of that one pyramid there in coastal Mexico, where they was cutting their chests open and taking their beaten heart out of their chest and pushing the corpse over the side of the pyramid. What a way to treat your neighbor.
Oh, what a way to treat your neighbor. That was a good one. That's true.
So they want to blame Columbus, and want to blame whites. Well, Indians were doing a pretty good job of killing each other. before anybody else showed up on the shore. I mean, to be realistic, that's what human beings have done throughout the history of mankind. Humankind, should I say. Mm-hmm. They fight. They have disagreements. Lo and behold, if you pull out your magnifying glass and look at the ants, I'd be darned. They're doing the same thing. They don't have no AR-15, but they're doing the same thing. The black ants, the red ants, the army ants, they fight each other. Mm-hmm. And you know something else? Within the ant colonies, guess what they have? They have ant slaves. I wonder if they have Democrats and Republicans. So there's a lot of things going on. Of course, the last thing that I've been celebrating and kind of smiling at is Stacey Abrams' case got thrown out when she was claiming that the Georgia Reform, Voter Reform Act law, was racist and compelling of being Jim Crow 2.0, as Brandon claimed it to be. But the thing I want to know is that are those businesses that lost money from last year's All-Star game when Major League Baseball decided to pull the location that was going to be held there at in Atlanta and take it to Colorado because they were saying that the Georgia legislature was racist and that the voters reform law that they passed was preventing people from voting? Well, the court just came out and said that's not true and told Stacey Abrams to go pound sand. Now, should not those businesses sue for the lack of the opportunity they would have had if the All-Star game had been held there in Atlanta? And, of course, you know the Braves moved their stadium out of the city proper into the suburbs.
Right.
I wonder why.
And that stadium wasn't even that old.
No, it wasn't. But, hell, people don't want to be chancing getting shot. Soldier Field in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot was trying to keep the Bears from moving, making a promise to put a dome over the stadium. Now, people just don't want to be around that crime, take a chance, a bullet falling out the sky hitting you in the top of the head.
Oh, you got big businesses moving out, but it doesn't matter. They'll double down on it.
Absolutely. So that's the life in the big Democratic city. And they're slowly decaying. So what else going on?
I wish there was exciting stuff going on. We're 4 weeks away from finding out our fate.
Well, you know, I got a COS meeting tomorrow I got to go to. And I got a lot of, I got to do something. But anyway, you know, one of the major problems that these Republicans, when they do have the power, they don't do jack.
No.
They just sit on it. And then they want to sit at the table and talk about bipartisanship.
The Republicans can have the Congress and the Senate, and Democrats will still get stuff pushed in.
Exactly.
And if the votes are two votes short, you know you got Murkowski and Susan Collins that will bail you out if you're two votes short. And then you got Mitt Romney if they need that.
Yeah. Well, I see that conservatives are playing the last cards in their hand. And after that, it would go to another step. I see where the FDA is wanting home gardeners and private gardens to register with the FDA. Why is that? You mean to tell me you can't grow your own damn food anymore?
Well,
they got this mentality they're going to force you to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they have. If a federal firearms license dealer run a background check and it comes back negative, or just telling the person who was attempting to buy the weapon that you know, sorry, but they got to turn in all this information. Local police and the ATF. What is that going to accomplish? It's worse than us when you're on the list and you have business being on the list. Well, I'll sit back and listen.
All right. So, hey, Dal?
Yeah?
So, Lizzo was in the news again.
I saw that. I was going to send you that link. She doesn't make music for white people, but she'll play a white man's flute.
Yeah.
That sounded derogatory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works, and she's upset that most of the fans that go see her are white. But why do we support this? Why is it that the youth is willing to accept stuff like this?
Because they're confused, Proof. They're all confused, misled.
I will never in my life apologize for being a dude. I'm not going to apologize ever for being cisgendered or being a straight married man that's happily married. I'm not going to ever consider apologizing based on my skin color. And I don't care who calls me what. Because they're the racist, not me.
Yes,
I don't watch fake news to tell me what my opinions need to be.
Because, you know, what they want you to believe is individual thought is the wrong thought. Only group think. And this is what we're telling you to think today. We're glad you tuned in. This is what you need to think today. This is what everybody thinks today. And, you know, it is. It is a orchestrated move on the media's part, social media part. Everything, the over-sexualization of our children, we've seen that for a long time. The exploitation of our parental rights in the guise of keeping our children safe. And then this barrage of locking our kids inside and expecting them to learn on computer screens and being exposed to social media all day and having playgroups online and
well, no,
seeing TikTok
videos. Well, no, they don't have
playgroups
online. They have playgroups at Drag Queen Storytime.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So
and it's okay for for drag queens to show their waps to five-year-olds.
Yep.
But, no, we'll get a wrap for that. There's not going to be any trophies for us allowing our kids to go through that.
No.
Yeah, but the globalists honestly think that they can get rid of 95% or more of the population and bring us back to how things were in the 1400s.
So what's that supposed to mean? I was wondering about that today. I was working. Now, is it politically or sociologically bring us back to the 400s where you have one ruler of the earth or one ruler of each portion of the earth, you know, the 1%? Is that what they want? Or they want us literally out foraging for food?
All the inventions of what's gone on over the last 600 years to be wiped away with 98% of the population and we just start over.
Yeah. Well, while they're replanting the earth in their utopian idealism, then they'll be locked up in their pods or their man stations or their utopian nation in the Ukraine that they're probably making with the taxpayers' dollars right
or
now.
Or an underground bunker.
Or underground bunkers. We know there's lots of those. So it leads me to, is this the agenda? Are they just going to blow up everything and replant it? What's going on? Because we're seeing an accelerated rate of events. You know, we've got a couple weeks ago, pipelines blown up, you know, the Russians, then a Russian bridge is blown up. That's poking the bear if I've ever seen it. And then, the bear goes.
And then you had a bunch of cyber attacks on various airports yesterday, and they tried to blame Putin, but it didn't go very far.
No, it didn't. It was an orchestrated attack by hackers that said, hey, everybody out there, why don't you guys, you know, attack this DDoS or whatever mainframe and stuff. And it was a pretty ambiguous attack as far as that goes. I mean, you know, it didn't interfere with flight operations. It was just more of a terminal inconvenience because it was the flight screens. But still, you know, it's concerning. And then just a couple weeks ago, too, maybe last week it was, there were several PA systems in airplanes that were hacked into. Do you recall that?
No.
All right, so these folks were taking off, and I can't remember, and I'm going to try to look it up. Anyways, though, the PA systems were apparently, they believe, maybe hacked into, and all these, it was American Airlines. And as they were taking off and they were in air, there became a bunch of disturbing noises over the PA system. And you would have to listen to these videos to hear what these people were hearing over the PA system. But it happened at takeoff and on a number of American Airlines flights. It happened on the 6th of September, actually. But it was like grunts and moans, and it sounded like somebody was dying in the bathroom or having the time of their life in the bathroom. But it was over the PA, and it was on a bunch of different systems. And American Airlines were saying it was a result of a mechanical issue, but many of the listeners are convinced that the sounds were human-made. It was only American Airlines craft. They transmitted all these weird, eerie sounds. The pilots came over on the PA on some of them and said, we don't know what this is, but the plane's running fine. It's not coming from the cockpit. The pilots are fine and stuff. But, yeah, so they to this day, they don't know what happened on them, what kind of hack it was. But if you're out there and you're listening, just go ahead and look up airline PA hack, American Airlines, and there's a bunch of videos of passengers that people played, and you can hear some of these bizarre noises that were going on over the PAs. But yeah, that's really concerning.
Oh, I wanted to show this to you today, Dal. So, Josh Hawley got in an argument today on the Senate floor with somebody that demanded that that he use certain pronouns. And I find this to be hilarious. All right, it's supposed to be playing.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
The ranking member, and thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks to the witnesses for being here. General Stitt, let me talk with you. Let me start with you, if I could. I have spoken repeatedly with the Secretary of the Army about replacing aging homes at Fort Leonard Wood in my home state, and there is no doubt in my mind that service members deserve better than they are getting right now. I was just there a few weeks ago. I toured the homes myself. I spoke to residents. I spoke to spouses. I spoke to children who live in the homes. These homes need to be replaced. What concerns me is the Army doesn't seem to have a plan to replace this aging housing stock. So let me just ask you this. In your opinion, how does the availability or maybe lack of availability of quality military housing for service members and their families affect recruiting and retention?
Senator Hawley, good afternoon. The Army takes the care and quality of life of all of our service members and their families very seriously, so we are making and committed to investing in our housing within not just that, but within our daycare centers, child care, offering opportunities, expanding beyond that for spousal employment to put kind of a whole package on the table to ensure that our facilities and our care and commitment towards family members is first class.
Will you say a whole package? When will we be seeing this package?
Senator, we continue to work on it, and I can take that question for the record, please.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but let me just say again for the record, I've said this in the full committee. I'll say it again here, that I think we're past the point of continuing to kick this down the road. I mean, this is a problem now. Frankly, at Fort Leonard Wood, it was a problem a decade ago. But I've been there. I mean, I've seen it myself. I've talked to the service members myself. I've been in their houses. I've been in their kitchens. I've looked at their bathrooms where there's mold growing. I've seen that they don't have places for their kids. I've seen the substandard living conditions, and it just isn't acceptable, General. You know what? I promised those service members that I'd be a royal pain in the you know what until something changed. So I'm keeping that commitment, and I'm going to continue it until something changes. And frankly, I've heard this now for, it's going on 2 years. I've only been in the Senate 3, but I've heard it continuously that, well, we'll get to it, we'll get to it, we'll get to it. Well, at Fort Leonard Wood, we haven't gotten to it. And I bet, if we went around the table here, I bet that the other members of the subcommittee would have the same situation in their state. So I'll give you the question for the record, but I just want to put on notice again, and you can take this back, that I want to see some progress on this, and I want to see it soon. And what I don't want to see are any more commitments from the Army that they're going to spend X number of dollars. This happened last year. We're going to commit X number of dollars to Fort Leonard Wood, and then, as it turns out, $0 were spent on housing. I'm still ticked off about that. And I don't want to see it happen again, and I want to see progress made. So that's my piece. I think you understand where I'm coming from. General Miller, let me come to you. Can you help me with something here? Anderson Air Force Base, I understand. This is in Guam, of course. Leaders there recently received an official email that prohibited them from using pronouns or descriptors like he, she, youngest, oldest, male, or female. Why is that? I mean, what's going on?
Senator Hawley, thank you for that question. Actually, that is we've been talking a lot about that because it was an email, from my understanding, that went out locally from one of the commanders there, and I don't remember at what level. I don't know if it was a group commander or the wing commander there. I believe that it was a Facebook post that went out based on a question. It is not the Air Force policy to not use pronouns. And so I think it was a social media, you know, exacerbated by individuals that said that they were directed for that.
Ah, okay, good. Well, I think that's progress. So you're saying, I'm looking at a news article here published August 31, 2022, saying that PACAF has sent this letter around. Leaders of the base are instructed, do not use pronouns, age, race, etc. And they go on, the unauthorized examples of unauthorized language are male, female, youngest, oldest, he, she. But you're saying that that was not an official communication, that has not been a directive.
That is not an official communication from the HAF, correct.
Okay. And so your position to me is today that is not policy and that they have not been so instructed.
That is correct.
This is
that
social
is not
media
policy.
Kerfuffle. I mean, this is not real. It's not happening.
I don't know if it's not happening, but it is not an official policy from the Department of the Air Force.
Okay. I ask because part of the way it's been reported is that the rationale is to help with lethality and also recruiting. And I was curious as heck how not using he, she can help with lethality and how it's helping with recruiting. But I'll take your word for it that this is not a policy. And that satisfies me. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before, I want to visit with you, Ms. Mansky, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
We can recognize that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancy?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning?
Because
so we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancy.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think men can get
so
pregnant.
So you're denying that trans people exist?
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
no,
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time
questioning.
In my class. You should join.
Oh, I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot.
I know.
This is Jane.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary. Ms. Matsky, let me ask you something. So you provide health care to women free of charge, right? Is that right? You've done this for many years.
Yes.
You have licensed medical professionals at your pregnancy care centers. Is that right?
That is correct.
And what are some of the resources that you provide for women who come to you in a time of need? Just give us you talked about it in your written testimony, but just give us a sense of it.
So we have 3 OBGYN doctors, 5 registered nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, phlebotomists, medical assistants, and we provide prenatal care, OBGYN care. We provide pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, well woman visits, breast exams. We provide a wide range of medical services. Yes.
So what do you think about the D.C. politicians now saying that your clinic and the other 3,000 pregnancy care centers around this country are fake medical clinics? For instance, Senator Warren has said, it's now more important than ever to crack down on so-called crisis pregnancy centers that mislead and deceive patients. Senator Menendez, crisis pregnancy centers jeopardize women's health and well-being, all while elevating unproven theories about birth control. Senator Warner wrote to Google asking them to censor search results for care centers like yours, saying directing women to fake clinics that traffic in misinformation is dangerous to women's health and undermines the integrity of Google's search results. Do you run a fake clinic? I mean, is that what's happening here? You don't provide actual medical care to actual women?
We absolutely do not run a fake clinic. And we have a full medical staff. Like I said, many of our medical professionals have experienced abortion for themselves, including our OBGYN doctor who used to perform abortion. So our entire medical staff is there for women, whether they choose abortion and walk out the door or whether they choose life for their baby, and we support them for years after that.
Do you think there ought to be an ideological test to be able to get medical care in this country? I mean, should we say to women, well, you have to agree with the D.C. Democrats' ideology, otherwise you can't go get medical care? Or maybe for you and the physicians who work at your pregnancy care center or the thousands of others across the country, should we impose an ideological test on them and say that, well, you have to agree with the D.C. Democrats' position on abortion or you can't provide medical care to women? Should we do that in this country?
Absolutely.
I just want to ask in my few remaining seconds here, Ms. Harley, the Dobbs decision, as I understand it, I've read it now a number of times, it gives to voters the decision as to what law should be pertaining to life and pertaining to abortion in all 50 states and other jurisdictions around the country. I'm just curious, do you know what percentage of voters in this country support the D.C. Democrats' position that they want to impose on the entire country, a one-size-fits-all rule they want to impose from the top down? Do you know what percentage of voters support their position, which is also, by the way, the same position taken by North Korea and China, other notable violators of human rights? Do you know what percentage it is?
I know that nearly 90% of Americans oppose abortion in the third trimester. The number that would support abortion up to the moment of birth has to be minuscule. It's a horrific policy.
Yeah, based on the most recent Harvard poll that was just released, just a few days ago, it's less than 10% of voters say that they would support abortion into the final month of pregnancy, and yet that is the law that the D.C. politicians want to impose on every voter in America, to take this away from the people, take it away from my state, take it away from all the other states and the voters in the states, but impose this law uniformly that is not supported by 90% of the American people. Talk about anti-democratic. At the same time, they want to shut down 3,000 pregnancy care centers all around this country. That's radical. Thank you.
So Dal, I'm just trying to understand how it's considered radical and violent to even question about trans people. And if you don't want to fund abortions, then you are you're phobic of something. I just don't know which phobe it is.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because the gal that was saying, you know, that Josh Hawley should take her classes, I didn't catch her name, but when she was talking about, you know, accusing him of being transphobic, she was laughing as she was saying it. I don't think any part of that conversation was a laughable matter.
Yeah, and if you ask what's a woman, you can't say you're a woman and then not know what a woman is.
Exactly. You know, and they are so afraid of the truth, to speak the truth, because like I was saying earlier, everybody wakes up every day to find out what you're supposed to believe that day, and what's your social cause, and what are we standing behind, and what day is this, you know? And we're seeing it there. We're seeing it in the military. We're seeing it in the medical care industry. I mean, this is a dangerous precedent we're setting.
Right. And then Kamala says that in Florida, we're going to help the we're going to help people that are not white first with hurricane relief.
Yes.
I didn't think that racism was legal like that in the United States, but racism is fresh again.
Oh, yes, and it's being, you know, promoted and sensationalized by the left, the Marxists, the socialists, the Democrats.
Well, any time that they're in complete power, they will do things to make sure that they keep their people on the plantation. So they don't have to do anything for them. They just have to call out who their enemies are, and that's it. That's all they have to do. And they don't have to – this time around, the Democrats aren't promising anybody anything. They're hiding.
Yeah. And, you know, this wokeism has become a type of social currency, if there ever was such a thing. I'm kind of making it up. But the more woke you are, the richer you are, the more successful you are in that wokeism. And so it's become a type of materialism or currency in itself. And you know, that leads to greed, and I can tell you greed only goes so far, and it's been the fall of many great societies and leaders and practitioners of different religious beliefs. Greed has been their downfall. You know, we said greed was, you know, Jesus' betrayal. You know, so... it's moral. It is moral backsliding. The social wokeism, the social currency, we're seeing that type of behavior in social media and stuff. Our kids, you know, instead of going and winning the baseball game and feeling good about themselves, they feel good about themselves that they have more followers on their platform, or whatever, and that's just dangerous. Very dangerous.
So, any thoughts on when your Friday show might come back?
Well, my work schedule right now is a little bit more involved than I thought it would be. We're pushing through with electrical and
yeah.
Plumbing. So, yeah, it's up in the air for now.
Okay.
Up in the air. It's hard to make any commitments. I barely made it here today. And I'm sore.
Yeah,
I'm sore. It's cold and it's wet out. And, yeah, it's Alaska. It's getting dark, too, already, so it's, yeah, one of those things, but I made it here tonight, and it was good, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find a Monday co-host.
Oh, have your Florida co-host come back?
Yeah, Candace was here on Thursday.
Oh, good, good, good. Then she's back up and running and she's okay. Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Yeah. So Leslie was your Monday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully she'll be back soon.
Yeah, I have to find somebody else. It's just hard for me working a day job, and I literally run out of breath if I'm talking to four and by myself for 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, the day job thing's been killing me lately, too. It's been a while. I was retired for a while, but this building the house has just been a job all on its own. Very hands-on. We knew it would be, but not this hands-on. Not my hands-on.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We'll keep our ears out for a new co-host for Monday. Maybe there's somebody out there listening tonight that is interesting. You can always find proof on social media. Hit them up. Monday night
yeah.
co-host gig, training provided.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, right, maybe you should, you know.
What's that?
There's that one caller, Nathan, that calls in from Florida. And he was just on your show last week when I was on. And he'd make a good co-host. I've heard him on a couple shows. He likes to talk to you. Might have to hit him up next time we talk. He calls in. Might be a good Monday night co-host. Pretty knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, well, if he has his own show on some other network, I'm not going to poach him.
No, he doesn't. No, he just calls in to other shows.
Oh.
I hear him. Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, I don't look around at other shows on the umbrella of our company.
Yeah. No, I listen. I listen when I can to other stuff, like to know what's going on out there.
The only one I listen to is Michael Robinson Obama because she's such a nice lady.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness sakes. Well,
can you imagine next year when people are talking about how Big Mike, Governor Grissom, J.B. Pritzker, and Gretchen Whitmer are all going to try and run for president?
Yeah. Ugh. Gross.
Like there's somebody good out of that?
No. No, thank you.
I mean, you're better off just having Klaus Schwab and getting it over with.
Exactly. Oh, gosh, you know, or Anthony Blinken or somebody's going to step up. Gross.
All right, well, we did it again. The outro music has started.
All right, well, thanks for having me. Good night, everybody.
All right, well, thank you, Dahl, for being here. And everyone else.
Yep.
I'll be back tomorrow. Please support the other shows on Freedomizer. It's not just a Freak Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, hope alive, and remember only you first fire. I am Freak Negative. I am the reason.